shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Season 2,
your safe space-sized podcast.
So we're going to talk today about disrespect in its own way.
Are you dissing me?
I am.
Oh.
Disrespect on you, disrespect on your coffee, disrespect.
On your family.
On your family.
On your magic cards.
On your magic cards.
So this kind of came about because I noticed that some things that I think are valuable in society have been used in a way to denigrate them and make them seem like if you use any of these things, then you are weak or oversensitive.
Or pathetic in some way.
So to start out with, just political correctness.
Yeah,
and
PC.
Its terminology.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people sit there and say, well, we've become too PC. And I keep thinking, what do you need to say?
Yeah, what's censorship is hitting you?
Yeah, because it's not censorship.
Nope.
This is there are certain things that you cannot say in society
without
anymore,
being looked at
without or losing business or it's not like the PC police show up at your door and immediately haul you off. I mean, we're saying that if I call you a racial slur, and I always call you a racial slur, you racial slur.
I'm a racial slur.
You're a racial flur. If I use a racial flur on you, then, you know, you decide not to hang out with me anymore.
Right.
And I'm noticing that, you know, the PC culture came about because it was totally acceptable for people to say, oh, he's a nerd, he's a geek. You don't want to date him. Don't date him. He's a nerd, he's a geek. We can go beat him up. You know, it was totally acceptable for that. And so I sort of feel like if we're talking about the PC culture being that way, it seems like we should be sitting there saying, well, yes, but, you know.
I think part of it, too, would be that value and empathy has grown as our society has evolved. And back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, white male was way more predominantly. If you weren't white male, then you were less than whatever white male was, and white male was at the top of the food chain. And we haven't quite shaken that off yet.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm going to live to see that shaken off.
I kind of hope I do.
Oh, me too. I'd like to see that. But it's, and there's people who deny that that's the way it is today.
Yeah.
They think it's already gone, but that's because they're looking at contrast and comparison. And sure, it's better, but it's still there.
It's a whole lot better.
It needs to still be better.
You know, we need to give ourselves props for getting better, but that doesn't mean the fight's over.
Right.
It just means that we've gotten better. And yay, okay, so we've gotten better, but keep going. I even say this often whenever we talk about misogyny. You know, we've gotten a lot better, sure, but that doesn't mean it's over.
Correct. And I think misogyny, in a way, has become kind of a last grasp of people who have that mindset.
Yeah.
Because it's easier now with online stuff to try to get away with it. Because
right,
because
you can't be seen.
Right,
or
you're anonymity of it.
A sea anemone.
Which, hey, don't be disrespecting the sea life.
Right.
Just because they're salty. But you know,
I've always thought that they were a little salty anyway, you know, just coming up and telling
stories.
I felt
stories. Like I was going somewhere and got rabbit-holed.
No, we were talking about...
Well, I know what we were talking about. I just don't know where I was going. But, well, the 40s, 50s, 60s, how, in that case, it was... We have stopped being... We were better as a society as being mixed.
Yeah.
We're not predominated. So with society reflecting that, then it's coming out better with the empathy. And that's why we see this changing. And I think the people who have that mindset are now feeling more guilt for feeling that way because they're being called out on it more.
Right.
Something we should probably point out too is, although I'm sure all of our listeners know this because they're brilliant, but the difference, what exactly freedom of speech means, because a lot of people confuse that thinking that they have the right to say anything with absolutely no repercussions in any form or fashion.
Right. And of course, the First Amendment protects the media from government repercussion. In fact, it protects you and I from government repercussions.
Individuals as well.
I can say that I don't like President Obama, I don't like Donald Trump, or whatever, and nobody, and the First Amendment protects them from you know, making me disappear or whatever.
I want to finish that. You don't like President Obama is not president anymore. I just want to finish that sentence.
former President Obama. But I mean,
yeah, you can't be arrested for that because it's not an immediate danger. It's not an immediate threat.
Right.
So the First Amendment protects you from being disciplined by the government.
Right.
So whereas there's exceptions, obviously, if you stand up and shout you're going to kill someone, that's a threat, and there are laws against that. So that's not freedom of speech.
Right. But freedom of speech protects us enough that – and this was something that, you know, people don't realize that, you know, like Adams, the second president of the United States, he was against it because he liked locking people away who talked against him. Mm-hmm. People didn't like him. He was not a popular president, and he was no George Washington.
I know George Washington, and you're no George Washington.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like and people didn't like him, and there were people speaking out against him, including, of all people, Benjamin Franklin's grandson, who, you know, Adams, Franklin's grandson wrote an op-ed that just pretty much called Adams an idiot, and Adams locked him away. And Franklin's grandson died in prison from being locked away while they were fighting on what was the First Amendment of the Constitution. I mean, you know, this all happened. Mm-hmm. You know, so
which is kind of one of those things that we need people who don't know history need to know about, since there's kind of threats of that going
again
this way.
Right. And of course, everybody's sitting here whining and saying that I should be able to call you a racial slur, mm-hmm. and you know, and you have to just accept it. And that's my First Amendment right. And I'm like, no, what's really your First Amendment right is the ability to publish that you don't like President Trump, mm-hmm. and you think his policies are bad, and he can't put you away or tell you not to be in the press room like he did with CNN, mm-hmm. which actually is a violation of the First Amendment right. And so there's a little bit of, I mean, you know, under the First Amendment, he really shouldn't be culling the news situations, news organizations to fit his agendas.
Right.
And that's part of his First Amendment. That's part of the First Amendment. So really what's happening is people are busy whining about losing their First Amendment rights while our First Amendment rights really are getting taken away. And that is an issue.
Yeah.
That's a scary, scary issue. But we talk about that, so that's the First Amendment.
So that's something to know when we talk about political correctness. We're talking about being a voice in society that is disruptive to society is right. Kind of where, and then people getting upset that people are upset with them for doing that.
Right. And, you know, it's one of the things that our conservative engineer brought up at one point in time was it causes companies to change their behavior. And he thought that was a bad thing. And my thought was, no, it doesn't. I think that's a good thing. You shouldn't have a company, because his argument was the free market should change the company's behavior and not some socioeconomic.
Did he have an example of that?
No.
Because I can't think of how that applies.
I can't think of any either. And in fact, ironically, this morning I asked him to recount it and he couldn't because he was on his way to work. Because I ran into him this morning and I thought about that very thing because he had an interesting argument about it, and I was curious.
I'm sure it's related to the whole cake thing.
Yeah, probably.
But
that's another one that nobody understands.
Right.
Because I've actually read the actual court.
Yeah, it's
on that.
It's very different than what people assume.
People think that it was, you know, that these two lesbians went in and ordered a cake, and they said, "No, we don't do that because we're Christians." And the lesbians said, "Well, then we'll sue you." And that's not what happened.
No, it was far worse than that.
Yeah, they went in there and asked for the cake, and they said, "We don't do that because you're an abomination of nature, causing the lesbian's mother to break down crying." So they filed a complaint. And then the cake company published the complaint on their webpage on Facebook, along with the person's address and phone number, mm-hmm. and where the children went to school. The lesbian's address and phone number and where the children went to school, and the social justice warriors on the conservative side descended on the school and descended on their house, and that was where they filed a lawsuit.
Right, because it was a breach of their privacy.
Right. And that's a different story.
Yep.
They doxed them effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say you're not going to do it, but they filed a complaint against them on Yelp or something.
Yeah, and that
like
was
that.
Their and response got, to
that was their response was to file a complaint, and they in turn decided to humiliate them,
mm-hmm.
which they feel like we were talking about is their right. It's their right to publicly humiliate somebody. And I'm like,
because,
no.
Yeah, because they,
no,
think,
it's not.
They think that's their free speech.
Right. And they think that it's freedom of speech right. to be able to publicly humiliate people. And it's not.
Well, you know, the first thing they did were in the when they turned down the customer, that falls kind of under the free speech.
Yeah.
But the problem is, as a business, and we have to have laws to protect businesses, otherwise this will happen all the time, is that, well, I think what happened was appropriate. They got shut down pretty much. People
yeah,
just like,
the result ended up with them getting shut down because the social justice warriors on the liberal side then came out and attacked the business itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got kind of a balance there on that. But that's just sort of the thing that's interesting about political correctness. So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Singer with Beyond the Trope, and if you like this show, you should totally check us out. We're at beyondthetrope.com and on all your social media and on iTunes and Stitcher.
And we're back.
So we're talking about disrespect.
But we do respect greatly the place that we are at currently recording.
Yes.
Mile High Comics in Lakewood, just a little bit south of First on Wadsworth. Come in for all your comics and comic paraphernalia and geeky type stuff. They have magic cards. They have t-shirts. They have posters. They have everything you would expect to find in a comic shop.
Yeah.
Like a podcast group. So disrespect. For this one, we're going to roll into... Actually, before we get into this topic, I think this was something we should have brought up. It kind of fits in between anyway, since you were talking about it, the term social justice warrior.
Yeah.
Which is, when I see it thrown around, it's always thrown around in a negative way.
Yeah, and it's also tends to be aimed at just the liberals.
Right. And it's
initially. Although I have found social justice warriors on both sides.
Right. And if you see an SJW, that's what that means when someone talks about that. And really, it's, when you think about it, it's a fancy term for activists.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be a rude comment. It's somebody who's taking part in what they believe in and talking about it.
Well, and there does seem to be an interesting schism mm-hmm. about what is patriotic and what is not patriotic. Again, we're hitting that. And I haven't seen this kind of schism since like the Vietnam era where, you know, if you are on one side of the spectrum, you're patriotic. And that means that you're saluting the flag and you're not causing any trouble. If you are protesting, then you are on the other side of the spectrum and you're not patriotic and you are causing trouble.
Right. It's the, if you question it, then you are obviously not patriotic. It's,
which is interesting because at this point in time, the people who are on that side of don't rock the boat are the ones that most distrust the government.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think they'd be cheering on anybody who's protesting.
Wasn't that kind of the same case though in Vietnam? It was.
Yeah. Well, no, because the conservative side during the Vietnam was very much pro government. We didn't get that anti.
Well, they're pro government, but they were the same ones saying don't question it.
Right. But they were also they didn't get that change until about the late 60s.
Now I do know a decent amount of Republicans that are not this way. So we should point out. What we're saying, we're not intending to generalize. We're just
and I'm really
we're
trying desperately not to use the mm-hmm. term Republican or conservatives if I can.
Right.
We have sort of a left and a right on everything, but that's natural. That's a natural function of the government.
I found the natural function of a society. I found that libertarian is the term used by a lot of people which is interesting. It's used by people that I would have expected to be either Republican or liberal, mm-hmm. Or conservative, I should say. And they run the gamut of the, I'm libertarian and I'm for everybody having a gun. Get another person, they say, I'm libertarian and I'm for nobody having a gun. So you get the extremes all within that one group, which I find interesting.
The libertarian's philosophy is least government's best government.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I have run into people who feel that least government is no government. You know, they take it to an extreme. The extreme liberal is an anarchist. And I mean, you know, you get varying degrees. So you'll find
that. I would have thought socialism is where liberalism eventually, or liberal ends up in eventually.
Yeah, liberals end up in socialism, but libertarians end up in anarchy. At some point, that's the extreme.
Might
version.
Makes right.
Right. At some point in time, there's no government at all, and we all just hope that the free market system runs everything properly. And that doesn't. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to talk about trigger warnings as well, which is another one that's under the auspices.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you have not heard of it, trigger warning is a warning that's usually given before either a written story, or you might hear it on the radio or see it in a show. And it means there's going to be words or situations in it that could trigger almost like a PTSD type thing. If you've been to a post-traumatic, I got that backwards, didn't I? Post-traumatic stress?
PTSD.
Yeah, PTSD.
You're good.
I should say trigger warning, because I'm about to mention some words that could fall into that.
Right.
But like if it has a scene of rape in it, that mm-hmm. could be very traumatic to somebody who's been through that situation. Or if somebody is committing suicide in it, and if someone had a family member they've lost that way, that could trigger a bad emotion for someone. So therefore, the trigger warning is warning this is going to be in that. The reason I wanted to throw it in our topic for this is that I've seen it referred to in a negative way.
I've heard it with the suck it up buttercup sort of response.
Why should I stick a trigger warning in front of something? It's their own fault for existing in the world.
Well, and it's more along the lines of, why are you so weak-willed that you take offense to this? Well, and it's the truth of the matter is, prior to this last decade or so, we just let PTSD people explode.
Yeah. No, it's still,
and we just let them melt down.
It's still not covered the way it should be covered. And
no,
these people
but I
are
mean,
not
we're,
being protected
really,
the
reason trigger warnings exist is to assist and help those people who are having PTSD not melt
right.
down.
Right. It's
and what happened was, they used to suck it up, buttercup. And what they would do is go home and cry for 3 days.
Or worse.
Yeah. Or shoot themselves. Or whatever. And it was like, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, had you given them a trigger warning, they'd still be here. Yeah. Or they would have gone to work for 2 days. Or whatever. You know what I mean? It would have been a lot easier for them to cope. Yeah. And all it does is just inconvenience you for 5 seconds to say, hey, trigger warning.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a problem with this, you might want to step out.
Which is kind of falling into that same category of political correctness, because people are like, why do I have to restrict what I'm saying? And those of us who know are like, well, because words have power, and words are going to hurt someone, and words are disrespectful. And therefore, you should change your vocabulary and your terms to be more respectful to the people.
Right. Well, it's like anything else. If I come in here and say, give me that card, it's just rude.
He's pointing out my magic card, by the way.
I am. Give me that card.
Okay. You know.
But if I come in here and say, hey, can I see that card, please?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the same thing. I still get the card. But I also still get respect.
Right.
You know, if I come, I can certainly come in here. It's totally my right to demand that you give me that card. But it's also within your right to not be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I guess it's kind of that thing. I've also was reading I really shouldn't read Reddit. I just keep thinking this every time I do this, because sometimes they will do threads that I get in there and I'm like, why am I here? And I, every time I get into these threads, there's always somebody who's posting about that point going, well, that's it. I shouldn't have been in this thread. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I really shouldn't be in this thread. But one of them was, what, not safe for life thing have you ever seen? And apparently some guy had, you know, committed suicide next to this guy's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped from a 20-story building. And he said his dad was okay until one day when someone dropped a watermelon off of the table and it crashed against the concrete. And all of a sudden, the dad just completely melted down, because that was the same sound.
Right.
And it triggered that entire PTSD mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, I thought about that and I was like, wow. And the truth is, we can't cover every PTSD possible situation.
Sure.
But at least if we're going to watch Schindler's List,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a class with everybody, you probably know that things are going to be rough in this movie. Right. But, you know,
well, for my 11-year-old, I get notices when they're going to show something, because they have to cover their butt in school very thoroughly. And so they say, this is the movie we're going to watch. Here's what's in the movie that you might not want your kid to see.
Right.
Sign this waiver if it's okay for them to see it.
Right.
So that's, it falls under that same category.
It does. It does indeed. And that makes some sense. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, and I'm not trying to knock the trigger warnings with that. I'm just saying, you know, it's nice to, it's really a courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it's offensive to people to say, hey, this is going to be a rough movie.
Yeah, I've noticed on IMDb, they put a parent's guide in there, which I think I might have talked about briefly in one of our other podcasts. But it's good for listing off what scenes of violence are in it and sex and nudity and stuff. So that way when you go in there and look at it, you'll be able to tell if any of this stuff is something you don't want to watch because of a past experience.
Right, right.
So,
and that's yeah. kind of an interesting thing, you know?
I'm trying to, I feel like there was something else on political correctness that tied into that that I was going to mention with the, I remember it was something you had said about, and you may have said this earlier, and I just have really bad short-term memory, about what is it you want to say that you're not being allowed to say.
Right.
I remember you mentioning that.
What do you need to say?
Yeah.
Every time somebody says there's a problem with a PC society, mm-hmm. I respond with, what do you need to say?
Yeah, and they can't tell you because
they can't tell me. So because what they really want to do is say, they want to be able to, you know, to
say stuff that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I do have something I do want to say, and this is where I think this feeds into almost a justified way, is I saw this memo that somebody posted, a friend of mine, that they were talking about the flame retardant tiles in the ceiling. And somebody had responded saying, you should not use that word. That's very offensive. And that's one of those cases where the person clearly just did not understand
right.
that the flame retardant is not referring to people
who are
suffering
disabled
from that,
or physically disabled.
Which I totally hate that word being used by people, not flame retardant. But,
well, no.
And I hate when tarred is added to the back of a word because, one, it's disrespectful in so many levels.
Yeah.
And it's just... Right away, I know you're not a good person. You don't have the empathy that you need to be in this. And I want them to learn.
And I have to admit that may be part of what our engineer was talking about. Because in that case, I think that NASA has changed the names of flame retardant to something else. So maybe we are dealing with that.
Well, we'll be back after this break.
And we're back.
We are here at Mile High Comics in Lakewood, and today's topic is disrespect.
And so we're moving on to Section 3, which is safe spaces.
Section 3, is that a place like Area
51?
51.
Whatever. No, this is a safe space. Safe space. Safe space.
And
in a month, when you listen to this, dear, you were calling right in the middle of while we were recording.
In a month, like she's going to remember that. And that's why he did not answer the phone. Honest.
And that's why I didn't answer the phone, honest.
So a safe space is a place or an environment in which a person or category of people can feel confident that they will not be exposed to discrimination, criticism, harassment, or any other emotional or physical harm. So this falls under the category because, once again, safe space is being used in a derogatory way.
Yeah.
That you are weak-skinned and you are not the idea is you're not good for society if you have to have a safe space, which is just ridiculous. And then it's funny how this new administration has brought out a lot of this disrespect in people.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I'm getting a lot of chatter about this. And I mean, my thought is, how does this affect anybody? I mean, okay, so I've given Troy a safe space. That doesn't change our class.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't change anything. But, in fact, it makes it slightly better because Troy's not here to get all upset. And so Troy's in his safe space, and we're good.
You know, back in high school, a library was a geek safe space.
Yeah,
unspoken.
It really was because the jocks wouldn't go there. They didn't read. Ah,
okay. Now Jock's going to beat you up.
No, I'm going to get all beat up by Jocks. And in fact, I hate to say this, but that would be deserved. That was pretty brutal. Anyway.
The sad thing is I saw you walking into it, and I knew you were going to go there, but you have to learn.
Yep.
But it's one of those things where because there's such negativity out there and such disrespect and a lot of name calling and a lot of shaming that happens to people, it has become something kind of necessary.
Yeah.
And because people don't need their self-esteem and their self-image destroyed in that way for something that is not a problem. It's something that adds to their individualism and to who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that Starbucks has come out and said specifically that they are a safe space.
Yeah. It's safe for recording podcasts too.
For us.
Yep.
For now. And then, I think that would also fall under, there's also, I've noticed some bars have been offering code for females to use if they feel unsafe.
Right. And I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if people didn't get hurt,
mm-hmm.
you know, if women weren't,
are you being distracted?
Yeah, I'm being distracted.
He needs a safe space to think. So this is all coming back to each of these things. It's interesting how they are being singled out and targeted as these are unnecessary in society today. They weaken society is the attitude that I'm seeing that bothers me.
Right, right, right.
And what do we do? What we can do is as a community band together and let people know that we support them and that we as a community, the community itself is a safe space. Because community is what it's about.
I agree.
So we'll hear more about if safe spaces from where I heard more about it would be like in college situations.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was Brown University, but I'm not sure, where there was a talk going on about rape culture. And that specifically had a safe space set aside. This was an actual physical room where they had coffee, cookies. It was a place to go to get away from the talk.
Right.
If you needed a break from it, and then you could come back. And so, and that way, if you went to the thing to listen to it, since it was kind of an open forum discussion, if somebody was saying something, kind of the counterpoint to it, pro-rape culture type thing, which
out there that are actually pro-rape culture. I cannot believe that, but there are.
Well, I think just in denial about it is, in a way, pro about it. That particular thing that kind of spawned our existence, being in denial that cosplay is not consent.
Right.
Is promoting it because if somebody dresses like that, then they deserve the attention that I give them, and
deserve whatever it is that they get.
Yeah, and that's
that's one of the things that we've got with rape culture is the
which, by the way, we don't feel that way. I'm paraphrasing what the other person said.
Well, that's back to one of the things that I always say, which is understanding is not agreement.
Right.
Just because I want to understand this does not mean I want to agree with it, and that is something that I have had a lot of problems with in my time too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, safe spaces. So I think the thing that I'm trying to figure out here is with the PC culture,
mm-hmm.
it's about shaming people who don't want you to humiliate them in that way. I mean, you know, because
they don't want to be called out for their bad behavior.
Yeah, they don't want to be called out for their bad behavior. And with trigger warnings, we've got sort of the same thing going. And with safe spaces, we sort of have kind of the same thing, which is what they're saying in essence is you guys are too weak because you're not just taking it. Well, yeah, but I took beatings. I took abuse. Why would I want to go back to a culture where my son has to take abuse to be considered weak? You know,
conventions, I think, for geeks may have been the first safe space because, you know, going to a convention, only people that want to be a part of that are going to go because it costs money. So,
well, and we've had that discussion with people.
Yeah.
When we were at conventions.
They feel safe at conventions.
Why do you come to conventions? Almost all of them were because it's safe.
It's my family. It's my group.
Right. These are my people. And we feel safe with our own people. And I think that's true of any group. I think that's one of the reasons churches exist, is because you're safe with your own people. And I'm not saying that there isn't anything to the religion or anything like that. I'm just simply saying I think that's one of the reasons why we made churches to begin with a zillion years ago. and why you find these things is so that you're safe with your own people.
It's also not to say that all churches or all conventions are perfectly good in that way. That they,
I mean, obviously we have been addressing a whole bunch of culture problems with our own culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things the Geek Tank does.
That's our, kind of our existence and purpose.
Yeah, it's what we do. We analyze ourselves. So, it's an interesting thing, but...
So I'm wondering, with the shift, something that I always thought is because of our nature as animals, being humans, that we look for groups and packs. And I wonder if the packs of groups of people that are misogynistic or are against the terms and the ideas of political correctness, trooper warnings, and safe spaces, if they're not just banding together because of that primal instinct of this is a group, and if I have a common enemy to band against, that makes my group stronger and more defined.
I think that's true. I think that we've got a certain amount of... I mean, you think about it. The KKK, I don't think people naturally in the KKK think that they are... Well, I guess that's not probably true. But I have heard a lot with the racism thing. People aren't inherently racist. What they're dealing with is feeling like there's a backlash. That the black people want to be better than the white people. So they've got they've manufactured a clear and present danger, a threat, so that their group can band together. And I think that that's probably true. And actually, it kind of makes me wonder, as conventions have gone along, mm-hmm. and as they've moved along and evolved, and we've become much more mainstream, are they becoming less and less the safe spaces that they used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Now we see more of the cosplay as not consent problems. Now we're seeing Gamergate.
There's also a problem with people of color in the geek community getting the respect that they deserve.
Right, because you're the wrong color for your cosplay. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of these, our own being chewing on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're going after ourselves.
It's the subgroups within the group.
Yeah, we're fracturing inside the groups. And so maybe it is just that we've now gotten wide enough that there are geeks across the way that we don't, we're now far enough and wide enough that it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of, I'm thinking that maybe that's what's happening, and then we're evolving these things, and maybe we banded together because there was clear and present danger. When we were being mm-hmm. beaten on, when we were being, pummeled because we were geeks, we all banded together and we all didn't care what our color was, what our gender was. We didn't care. But now we've got kind of an opener culture, and maybe now it's changing.
So the social walls are developing inside of it, and we need to tear down these walls.
Mr. Gorbachev,
mm-hmm.
tear down this wall, So, it's, who knows? Maybe that's where we're headed.
So that's something to reflect on there is look at yourself and your own actions and think about how do these affect other people? How do they affect my fellow and can I say fellow for females?
What sure.
It just felt weird saying that for some reason.
Your fellow geeks.
My brothers and sisters in the geek community.
Brothers and sisters, the geek community.
Are you going to become the geek reverend?
Reverend guy.
I know some good geek bands that we could get to do our
My name loses letters whenever I become Southern.
Okay.
Because it becomes guy. And it just loses a whole bunch of letters.
It's almost just respelled.
Well, it just loses one. I think it just becomes G-A-A-A-A-A. Guy.
Nice rabbit hole.
I totally
So if you have anything you'd like to comment on, if you've had anything you'd like us to share, stories and such, you can write to us.
And questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com. I totally had a lock there.
I was wondering.
What is our email address?
You say it
again?
All the time.
It's pizza@pizza.pizza.
Shut up.
You can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Well, I hope you liked today's show. We appreciate you listening.
Yep, when we appreciate you. And that's all the time we have for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and Find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer. And our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you, who knows? The Shadow knows. Good night.
So it's time for our
Ask Us Anything.
If you need to ask us anything, please email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be a need. It could be a want. It could be a whim.
If you whim to ask us something, mm-hmm. then you can send it to questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Since we don't have any yet.
Well, we're going to use our very complex algorithm computer to generate one.
Right. So.
Ding, ding, ding. So we have the question of, do you like yourself?
Which, you know, on the surface sounds kind of silly. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, no, actually, that's pretty deep.
I think this applies a lot to the geek community in itself.
Yeah, I think it does, too.
Self-esteem.
Yeah. So do you like yourself?
Not as much as I'd like to. And I don't mean that in a joking way.
No.
Because it could easily...
And actually, in this one, it's kind of like, this is a serious thing.
This is a very serious ask as anything...
Yeah, strangely enough, because, yeah, is it because we were overcritical?
It could be. I mean, one of the things, I don't know if I know any geeks or nerd friends who do not have some creativity in them. I know people who aren't geeks or nerds who deny the creativity in themselves, and I don't know if it's there or not. I don't see it in those people.
Right, right.
But I kind of suspect it's there. They just don't nurture it. Whereas with every geek
would they nurture it?
Yeah, it's in some way they have a creative brain.
Right.
Be it they it's
either they're an artist or they're a cosplayer or they are a singer or they're a musician.
A writer.
We've got it does seem like we have a heavy creative load in the geek community.
And so that leads me to believe that as an artist, and I use the term very broadly, that you will always be your own worst critic. At least that's what I found with myself.
Well, there are a lot of studies that show that artists are often depressed, and they're often really. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that, and I go through bouts of depression where I can't draw, and I'm getting out of one right now. I'm coming on the other side of it, and it's like a cloudy day.
What do you do to get through those times?
I just push, and I don't think my work's good, and I find it to be, I mean, I can see back through the Tamerlan comics right now, looking back through them, it's not my best work. Hmm. And so
I think you need a way to help you through that.
I think I do too. Getting out helps. Coming here and recording Geek Tank helps. Mm-hmm. Having a thing that needs to be done.
Being creative in a different aspect.
Yeah, finding some other creativity. I've often discovered that when I draw, changing gears will help. You know, I'll draw Tamerlan, and then whenever I get locked up on Tamerlan, I'll switch to Springs. And then I'll get locked up on Springs, and I'll switch back to Tamerlan. Or maybe I'll go to Witches of Flame.
Or Octa-Eagle.
Right, or Octa-Eagle. Which is one of the ways that I keep myself flowing is that, and that's the same. It's actually a technique that Isaac Asimov used to do.
Hmm.
That's how he used to break through barriers. He would just have four or five projects on his plate at any given point in time, which is the reason, if you're ever wondering, why does Guy have three titles that he gets out sporadically? It's because I switch whenever I get burned out on one.
Hmm. That makes sense. I will share something that I don't believe all of our listeners know yet. Some do. I actually take medication to help me with my depression that I get.
And I've thought about it too.
It makes a huge difference. It's not for everyone. You're going to get different results. But what I can say is if
your results may vary.
Yeah. If you're experiencing issues, definitely seek help. There's no shame in that. I think there, for me, back in the 80s and 90s, there was stigma and shame that was great about if you have a mental problem, then you are therefore lesser and not contributing to society.
And so, this actually, ironically, seems to make our AUA fit the episode.
Yeah, which was totally random.
Completely random.
AUA from our random machine. It does fit with that. And it's, I think body shaming is a big thing that plays into that with people too. And if you have that, know that you're your worst critic. And that
nobody sees you like you do.
Yep. And that, and the people who do say stupid stuff to enforce that negative thought process,
they're very rare.
They're not worth your listening to.
Right. And they're always 1%. You know, it's always a 1% problem. For every one person that's ever shamed me for whatever, mm-hmm. I have met 99 people that didn't. You know what I mean? But we as humans are predisposed to listen to that 1%. And it's horrible, and it's true. So the answer for both of us is not as much as we'd like.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's this case with a lot of geeks.
Yeah, it's probably the case with a lot of us.
So know that we love you.
Yeah, we love you, and we love each other. And
wait, well, what?
Secretly, I have just now proposed to Troy. That's funny, because we just, like, last episode, I proposed to somebody else, and we've got a lot of proposing going on.
I think you actually got married, but I wasn't ordained, so therefore it wasn't official.
Well, and I think she was probably high school, so that's probably like...
Well, she was underage.
Yeah, that was an ugly one.
Well, she may not have been underage, but she was definitely not an age that would be acceptable in our society or our brains to accept.
My brain can't handle that.
We are not in the Game of Thrones universe.
I'm not prepped for that.
All right, so that was our...
Okay, well then, we'll see you next time.